everybody, and welcome to another episode of IMVDB Music Video and Podcast. This Week in Music Video is brought to you by your super good friends at IMVDB.com, the Internet Music Video Database. My name is Adam, and then with us, as always, the handsome podcast boy, Vimeo.org, Mr. Doug Klinger. How are you, Doug?
Doing super good, Adam. When I see potential, I just gotta see it through.
Ooh, you know what? There's nothing worse than potential that's only kind of partially seen through.
Yeah, that's the whole point of the movie Bronx Tale.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm not sure what you're talking about, but I agree.
It's about wasted potential. That's like the underlying theme of the movie.
Mm-hmm. And man, we're not going to waste any potential today, because we're going to right out of the gate introduce Mr. Adam Alexander, FringeMusicFix.com. Adam, how are you today?
I'm great, Adam. I'm just overflowing with potential right now. Just untapped potential.
Take it easy.
I may not ever tap into, but it's there.
You gotta calm down, Adam. We talked about this.
I don't want to know about what you're flowing in any. I don't want to know about your flows.
So this is a music. This is a podcast where we talk about music videos, news, new releases, etc., and sometimes music related topics. And I feel the need to mention that because we may have some new listeners this time.
Maybe
this was an exciting week for the podcast because only after about 5 years, it only took 5 years. And Doug, that was our original plan.
It was a five year plan.
We're gonna blow up after half a decade. We always said that we were featured as in the new and noteworthy section, and we're obviously not new, so we must be noteworthy section. Yeah. Of the iTunes music store, which was awesome. Thank you, iTunes. And it might have something to do with the fact that earlier this week, Doug, the Vimeo podcast released its inaugural episode. Congratulations.
Hey, thanks. And that's true. You're right about that. We did launch a Vimeo podcast this week featuring David Wilson.
That's right. Music video director and director of other things, David Wilson, a perfect guest for the first podcast, which is co-hosted by Andrea Allen, who has been on this podcast many times. And because he's such like he's an awesome dude, has an awesome English accent, has so many stories and insights and things. So it was a great first episode. And you guys were also featured, and you guys made it up. I know I got to mention it because, Doug, you're just too modest to mention it. You guys are number 9 in the TV and film charts, so congratulations.
Hey, thanks. Nice. That's exciting. What did you guys think of the episode, or did you not listen, which is understandable?
Whoa. First of all, I listened, of course.
Listened, of course.
I know. I'm just kidding, you guys. Remember we were talking about how modest I am?
Hey, you know what? Our podcast is also doing pretty good. We are number 79 in the music charts.
Oh, shit.
Which is a chart that has some of my favorite podcasts, including Song Exploder, which is a fantastic podcast.
And Diplo's Peanut Butter and Jams podcast.
Actually, you know what? A breaking news update. We are number 57.
Oh, shit.
Nice. Yeah.
Nice.
I just pulled it up to see what podcast was right below us because I forgot the name of it and that no longer applies. So
that's a big jump.
Suck it, NPR's Mountain Stage.
Suck it, Peanut Butter and Jams. You guys like that podcast? I just made it up.
And you know what? If Diplo doesn't do a podcast, I'm going to be super super upset because I feel like
I feel like there's a lot to like get from. You know, Diplo just stream of consciousness into a microphone.
That's right, yeah. Talk about his BlackBerry commercial. So if you are brand new to the podcast, oh man, so many things to tell you. First of all, go to imvdb.com. It's a database where we collect music video credits and information. Find all your favorite videos on there. But also go to imvdb.com/podcasts. And in an earlier iteration of this podcast, we did a ton of interviews. So if you're interested in, you know, the industry of music videos, there is a ton of interesting stuff in there, including interviews with directors like Kira Murai.
Daniels.
Daniels.
Or Fu.
Emily Kai Bach, after she directed her first video, Hannah Lux Davis.
Brother Ali.
That's right. And Isaac Ravi Shankara. It's just the list goes on and on. Way too many to mention here. So there's plenty of other.
Let's list them. Let's just list them all.
Yeah. Over the next 10 minutes, let's list them. And who could
Adam
forget?
Alexander.
Yeah, Adam
That's
Alexander.
True. That's
Adam,
the first episode was an interview.
That's right.
Yeah.
Welcome, Matt. And also Michael Q. Schmidt, if you're a Tim and Eric fan. Might be interested to know that we interviewed Michael Q. Schmidt. Hi, Michael.
And BJ Doug Pound, which if you're also Same here. Right.
DJ Doug Pound was a super nice guy.
Yeah, I don't know why you say that. I don't know why you say that in a way where you're surprised.
Because he, like, after the interview, he asked us if we got what we needed. He was a nice guy.
I think so.
So anyway, on this podcast, what we usually do is talk about the news of music videos, whatever happenings are happening. If you go back two episodes, you'll hear an interview with Chris Black, who pointed out that an interview or a documentary that he did with Abtin Bagheri had some footage that was used in the Beyonce Formation video. He spoke about it on Twitter and caused a bit of a shitstorm, and we got him on the podcast to talk about it. But, you know, this week there's not too much in the world of music video news going on. It's mostly all movies with the Oscars last weekend.
A lot of people talking about those Oscars.
Oh, man.
Big baby Oscars.
They should have a music video category
in the Oscars. Yeah, that makes sense.
Like why?
Just so another award show could just fucking blow it.
That's right.
Yeah. Just another like high profile award show could just fuck up the music video award.
Do you think that if the Oscars had a music video category that Bad Blood would have won? Or I guess the question is how hard would Bad Blood have won?
Yeah, right. Exactly. What would have been like? Because then Taylor Swift would have performed or something weird too. Yeah, no. Bad Blood 100% would have won. So we get pretty close. Like they do have a music. Like chillest song from a movie or whatever the award official name is, which led to, I don't know. So there's music performances at the Oscars, right?
There is.
Yes.
I believe that this year Ed Sheeran won for his song from the new James Bond film.
Another white person at the Oscars winning.
Ooh, I don't know if we should get into that, Doug. That's probably not a good idea.
We're all white, so
it's just funny.
That's right. The winner was "Writings on the Wall" from Spectre, by Ed Sheeran, with music and lyrics by other people. But yeah, those are all
Spectre, usually famous for his music. Everyone loves. People go to the James Bond music for the original theme song for James Bond movies for the original theme song.
I mean, by Ed Sheeran. That's the draw.
Yeah,
they just need their Ed Sheeran fix. And see James Bond.
The funny thing about that, right, is that usually the theme song of James Bond movies are like sung by somebody who's got some pipes on them. Like last one was Adele.
Right.
And she just belted out the Skyfall theme, whatever that was called. I think it was called Skyfall.
Yeah.
And then Sharon, you know, talents as a, you know, singer-songwriter performer aside, not really known for as a kid, well, you know, a set of pipes is going to belt out a sultry James Bond theme.
Mm-mm. No, I don't know him for that.
No.
And a song that we talk about a lot on this podcast, though, that Weekend song, that was nominated, right?
It was.
Which Weekend song was nominated?
The one from 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, Worth It.
Yeah, Worth It.
That's the one.
Huh, interesting.
That's like a real song.
That
like,
is.
Yeah, Ed Sheeran, whatever, your song is a movie song.
I think it's
I know it is. I'm doing a bit. nice. But the Weekend song, that's a for real song.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
But still a song written for the movie.
Yes, but a song that people listen to when they're not watching the movie.
Exactly.
But also, that went on his album, strangely enough. I thought that was just...
Wait, who's he in that sentence? Ed Sheeran?
The Weeknd.
Oh, The Weeknd. Right, yes, right.
That went on the Beauty Behind the Madness.
Weird if the Ed Sheeran song was on his album.
That would be strange. It was just like some sort of like mix up some spot.
What if the Adele song was on Ed Sheeran's album? That would be even weirder.
I would love to see an Adele Ed Sheeran kind of collaboration, but only one where Adele has like maybe like 10 seconds of singing time and the rest is Ed Sheeran trying to sing like Adele. So if anybody is looking for a producer to produce,
or just an idea guy.
So yeah, an idea guy to produce some really terrible mashups. I got a lot of ideas.
Cool.
And speaking of mashups, are two singers singing together, and also something that I don't think we've ever seen on this podcast before. We're going to talk about a lot of interesting music videos on this podcast, but
promise.
I think we should start with one that just really brings together. It's like peanut butter and chocolate. That's it.
Or it's like peanut butter and jams. The Diplo podcast that we made up for this for this episode.
So we should really talk about Rihanna's video, Rihanna and Drake's video for Work,
Yeah, not, it's Rihanna and Drake's video, and it's also Director X and Tim Erms' video.
That's right. This is I wanted to ask you guys about this because I don't think we've ever seen this, and we've been doing
No, we haven't.
We've been doing this podcast for 5 years. We've been doing the database for a little bit longer than that, and so we've seen a lot of ridiculous shit that people try to throw at us in terms of how they want to format their music videos. We've never seen this, which is literally one YouTube embed, two music videos right after each other for the same song.
For the same song. And, yeah, it just, it's like, I was completely, this is a music video, like, I thought, and we needed to talk about this. This is a music video that actually came out 2 weeks ago. We took a week off on the podcast, and I carried this one over. I'm like, no. This one doesn't slip by. Because the interesting thing is, there's nothing that connects the two music videos, right? And also, like there's no, like, real connect. Like, they're similarly themed music videos in that they're just very kind of, like, performance and dance heavy. But there's not really, like, a connected thread within the music videos themselves. They kind of, like, put something in between them that it kind of flows into one, kind of. It doesn't really flow. But they try to make it. But there's no references to the other videos. They weren't these aren't two videos that seem to have been made with each other in mind. And another interesting thing, though, is they're both fine videos. It's not like one is great or you know what I mean? Like, I feel like the same thing would have happened if they would have just put one or the other of these videos out. It would have the same number of views and the exact same impact right now. At least that's my take on it. What do you guys think?
Well, before we do get further into the merits of the video, I think let's talk a little bit about the directors and sort of the structure here. So,
okay,
cool. The directors are Director X, who, if you are know a little bit about music videos, Director X is probably, I would say, in the top five most name recognizable music video directors out there. Mm-hmm. Done videos, I think one of the most famous he's done recently have been Hotline Bling by Drake, Fancy by Iggy Azalea, and then another one Started From the Bottom by Drake.
The funny thing, though, is a lot of people know who Director X is, but people still struggle with his name. He's gone by several names.
He's gone by Little X.
Or just X. Yeah. And so a lot of times I'll see people credit him as Director X, and they'll put a colon in. So they'll be like, Director, X. Like, they think that that's what they're looking at, and that he doesn't go by the name Director X also. So despite the fact that him being very, like, a lot of people know who he is and will have heard of one of his names, I think that he's still got a name that people struggle with.
I mean, such is the struggle of music video directors, right?
Yeah, right.
Doesn't matter how crazy famous you get in the music, you know, as a music video director, it's sometimes people are putting colons in your name for no reason. So he directed the first music video, and that music video takes place in a, for lack of a better term, Jamaica-themed dance club in Toronto. And it basically features Rihanna looking super sexy, as Rihanna always does. I think this is the sexiest she's looked since the Rude Boy video. I don't know if it's a Rude or Rude Boy. And then basically, and we'll talk a little bit about the contents of that video, because it pertains to the second video, which is directed by Tim Erm, who's a director from Stockholm, Sweden, and has directed such videos as Lean On by Major Lazer, as well as most recently Moments by Tove Lo, and a few videos we've talked about on the podcast here, including an amazing video that's one of my favorites, Down on Life by Elephant.
Which I think Tim also did a blog interview with us about.
He did, yes. He's a friend of the site, if not the podcast.
And he also has a really great retweet. It's from September 10th on his Twitter account. The tweet just says, "Hey Tim, worst video I've ever seen. Thanks." I'm not even sure what video is September 10th. Like, I'm not even sure what video it's in reference to, because this isn't anything recent. Maybe the Toblo video. But yeah,
but that came out in October. I think they might be referencing the Lean On video, actually.
Maybe. That might make sense.
I love the irony how hard it is to find a director credit, but this person hated it so much that they found the director and took the time to tweet that.
But just the tweet itself, like, hey, Tim, worst video I've ever seen. Thanks. And like, just like the word thanks, and then the fact that he retweets it. I don't know. It just, I thought it was super funny. We'll link that in the show notes.
Yeah, definitely check out that hater. Don't go after Q Kwan, though.
Yeah, Q Kwan, though. Everyone's favorite Brett.
So these videos are literally right back to back, which I couldn't quite believe until I actually kind of watched it, you know, through and through. So the first video is Drake and Rihanna. They're in this club. Rihanna is doing whatever that form of dance is where you dance, look at yourself in the mirror. I think that actually was explored in the documentary by Chris Black and Abtin. At least in that documentary, people are dancing and looking at themselves in mirrors. But this involves a lot of grinding, and it continues the really grand tradition of Drake, you know, being grinded on. I don't know what the past is of grinded on. Females.
Yeah, it's an interesting observation that, I picked up on that too.
Because the last time we saw something like this was in the Anaconda video by Nicki Minaj from 2 years ago or so. Would you guys agree there's real chemistry between Drake and Rihanna in this?
I certainly think that throughout this video, there is a lot of chemistry through Drake and Rihanna. But what I got from the dancing and stuff, that's just like I see that as just like having like a really great time. Like, I don't I don't think there necessarily has to be, just because it's close, I don't think that type of dancing is always and like this type of just kind of partying is always necessarily sexual, even though it seems very sexy. But I totally agree that Drake and Rihanna have a significant amount of chemistry in both versions of the video, though.
Absolutely. I mean, these are two, very sexy videos. I don't know if you guys would agree.
And people, right? Drake and Rihanna.
I feel like when Doug goes to Jamaican-themed clubs, he probably wears the same outfit as Drake. Is that an accurate?
No, I don't wear. I can't get away with wearing sweatpants in public and not looking like I've given up on life. Like, just, if I wear cotton pants in public like that, like pants where the inside kind of can come apart and like kind of pull apart, I can't pull it off.
There's definitely a contrast in their outfits. Like Rihanna, that's like a pretty elaborate outfit she's got on. He just phoned in that wardrobe.
No, that's not phoned in. That's the new OVO line. Yeah. He's got like a new.
But still, I'm sure he's got some better club wear that line of clothing.
But this is like what he's putting front and center, right? You know, this is a very calculated outfit. I get what you mean in terms of like, what are you doing, Drake? You're in fucking sweatpants and a sweater. But like,
I couldn't pull it off. That's no. Definite.
No.
You have to be Drake to
But wear you, there's that. Stuff that, Adam, there's stuff that you wear that Drake couldn't pull off.
That's a definite.
Like, could Drake like walk around with a t-shirt with the Nintendo joystick on it?
No, he absolutely
could Adam Alexander?
He's wearing it right now.
So, boom. There you go. Good point.
The other thing that kind of disturbed me about this video is that very late in the video, it is revealed that somebody's like, there's a full kitchen in this place. I just assumed that it was like a bar and a dance place, but I mean, you introduce like a full kitchen there, and that means people are ordering food, and there's some place somewhere on this dance floor that people are just like standing up, like wolfing down chicken wings. And that just adds a whole another dimension to it for me.
Man, you like noticed. You picked up on a lot of more detail than I did in your first pass of this video.
I mean,
or in the first half of this video.
I was glued to both of these videos. Glued, like absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
They're and they're such simple concepts, and both of the videos are very similar in like the technical concept of what's going on and the pieces. It's interesting how different they treat it. But man, I really just enjoy just kind of watching Drake and Rihanna just kind of hang out. They do not seem like a forced relationship at all. Like if you had like a spectrum, and it at one end was Mac Miller and Ariana Grande, in the what's the name of that video?
Oh, I don't even know. But you mean the one where they're making out?
Yeah, the one where they're making out, and like Ariana Grande looks at the camera like, "Please help me! I'm doing this to try to further my career, and this is a terrible decision."
Right.
Let me look at that video real quick because it's important for people to go see that and see what happened. The Way. It's called The Way.
Right.
From
I can't believe she's like, people don't talk about that enough. People don't talk about them making out in that video enough.
They don't really. I think at that point, Ariana Grande looked at that career move and was like, you know what? I guess I got to do this. But the chemistry between them is just like at 0% in that video.
Why did they do that? I still don't understand like what the need, like what point are you making? Like, yeah, you can have chemistry in a video, you can look in each other's eyes, like dance close to each other, but like what point are you trying to make by actually making out with each other in the music video? I don't understand.
I imagine Ariana Grande had a manager who came into her at one point with like a bunch of papers and like you know, like focus group stuff, and was like, Ariana, I'm sorry, you got to make out with Mac Miller. I mean,
it's like Max early. Into it, Max down. She's like, of course, fucking Max down. What are you talking about? Actually, no, she was probably like stoked.
Yeah. Ariana,
she just seems excitable. So, anyway, let's talk a little bit about Tim's version of the video.
Right, and this video basically,
and also what links the two videos.
What does like the two videos?
It's a loading animation
graphic. That's right. Okay, now I remember. Yeah, it's like an old like you know, 8-bit loading graphic or something of the same era.
Logical,
right?
It is sort of.
You gotta load the next video. Yeah,
right. Again.
And then when I saw that, I was like, maybe they're gonna be in a computer or something like Tron style. And they got a
little. It makes me think that thing in the middle was placed there by not Tim or Director X.
It's like maybe they couldn't decide on a video and they just decided to go with both.
But why do they make both? Tim's video, it's also a, you know, kind of just performance dance heavy version of the video.
Colorful.
It's a lot more stylized. Yeah, it's a lot more like stylized. Like, yeah, like
kind of like Hotline Bling, really. The color tone
similar to Hotline Bling in the neon lights, and it's in a single room. It's just the two of them, and for a lot of this video, Drake's kind of just in the background on a couch,
which he's done before. I think. He does that. He just sits behind the lead artist and watches.
So again, great chemistry though between them. I think, you know, Rihanna continues to look like Rihanna and looks like they both look cool and attractive, like they are as human beings. And that's great in the video. The style's great. The energy is great. Like it's a. Both of these are great performance kind of videos. There's less detail in Tim's video, which I think leaves a lot more room for the Rihanna and Drake's chemistry to come through even further. But I can't get past the why did they do this part of it.
And I agree. I of the two videos, I enjoy the second one better.
I concur.
It is worth noting that both of them, I mean, I think Rihanna looks better than she has in a while.
And we're not saying this, you know, you're not, I feel like you're not bringing this up because you're just like, hey, look how sexy Rihanna is. Like, I feel like it is in, you know, her style and her look and her appearance in the video and Drake's are a significant element in both of them. And it's a factor. You know what I mean? It's not a thing that there was a lot of consideration put into that. You know, into what the outfits would be and what the outfits would do in for like what impact all of that stuff would have on the video, you know.
Right. It's pretty key. I mean,
Drake sweatpants to, you know, all the way through every outfit and style choice and appearance. That is all stuff that is very calculated and deliberate. And so,
right. You know. In any video that's as non-narrative as this one is, those become key elements that we look at as the styling, fashion, and the appearance of the artists and their performance.
Right.
So, yeah, absolutely. Those are things to comment on.
Right.
And, yeah, if you look at Rihanna's, you know, video history, it's actually been a while since she's gone, like, straight up, I'm going to go for the, you know, the kind of, like, overt, sexier side of things. You know, she has been styled in a very, like, fashion, you know, art fashion way for, like, the 4 or 5 seconds video. She's been styled in sort of very dramatic ways, like the Sophie Muller Stay video. And like, very casual ways for, like, the We Found Love videos. But I don't think it really hasn't been since Rude Boy from 10 years ago, the Lena Matsoukas video, that she's been styled in this way, in this really overt sexual way. And, I mean, it works really well for being, you know.
It works.
I get it.
Whoa. Duh.
This is the best big song of this year so far, I think.
I've been surprised at how popular this song is. I mean,
it's fine, song is amazing. It's ridiculous, but it's so catchy. It's a song
because you hear it once, and like, you hear the first half of it, and the second chorus comes around, and you already know it.
Mm. Which is great. And then they decide to play, like, it's a very repetitious song, and we get it twice in this video.
we need to talk to Tim or somebody, and just to get some insight in why they did this. I see it could just as easily be they made two and couldn't make their mind up of which one they like, or they made one and then they kind of liked it and made the other and kind of liked it. And they're like, well, we kind of like both of them. Or it wasn't something that they thought was going to be a great idea. Like, let's see if we could get people to just watch a different video of the same song again. You know, they will, like, second videos get made for artists a lot. You know, they could be a narrative video and suddenly the artist takes off and there needs to be a music video that has more performance or just whatever reason. An artist gets bigger or a song becomes a single and they want to give it a bigger push. There's a lot of reasons why a second video would get made for a song down the line. But
yeah, typically months later.
or years later, or, you know, a significant amount of time later. Not put them on the same embed and just mush them together. And so it just doesn't feel like there was any coordination between the two videos that makes this feel like the reason behind it is clear.
Now, on another note for that, I think that in a way this is a really clever way of doing things, because you can put out two versions of a video, and yeah, they do share some elements and some thematic similarities, but, you know, two videos by two different directors shot in two different places, and you can just have one view count. Video is like the, you know, is the sort of outcast video. You know, inevitably when two videos are made, there's the one that's the, you know, the good one that gets all the views, and then the one that's, you know, as seen kind of as a mistake. I mean,
like this too shall pass.
Maybe, or even like think of the Bruno Mars video for the
okay, Bruno Mars is a really good example.
Yeah, for the what's the name of that song?
It was for Lazy Song. We did Cameron Duddy talked about it on this podcast, and we also had Dom's Sketchcast draw that story. Like they made a video for Lazy Song. I think it was Lazy Song, or maybe
it is Lazy Song. Yeah,
it was Lazy Song, and they like had a video, and it didn't turn out great. And then they made the one with the gorilla heads. Mm-hmm. The interesting thing I will say about this Rihanna video is, you know, Rihanna is an artist who, if anyone's getting a big budget for a music video, Rihanna is one of those artists. And neither of these music videos are seem to be particularly expensive music videos. They're both in a single location, and not a ton happens. They didn't have to really build a lot of sets. I mean, the Tim's video is a set, but it's like not a. It's not like they built a bunch of sets like needed for Hotline Bling that were big and custom and many. And so it feels to me like these music videos were at least produced at the same time, if not in, like we said, coordination. Because they don't feel like massive budget music videos. Not that a massive budget is needed, but if you just look at the scope of Bitch Better Have My Money, for example, mm-hmm. and this is the lead single for Rihanna's new album, and you know, that's the video that normally gets the larger budget. Neither of these seem to have a significant budget. So it doesn't feel like a replacement situation.
Right, yeah. In a situation where, like, one video was put out. But we see this sometimes with, like, for instance, Florence and the Machine had a situation where they made a video for Dog Days Are Over well before it was a sleeper hit. And I believe, and then, you know, afterwards, after it became this massive hit, they made a second bigger budget video. Mm-hmm. So in that case, you know, you can very clearly see the production value difference between those videos. These were made at the same time, look like the same, you know, production values, look like they might have actually been around the same budget, actually.
Yeah, totally. Right.
And which is so interesting. And I think what this does is it allows for Rihanna to have two videos. Maybe she wants two videos, or maybe two videos just happened to be made under whatever set of circumstances. But none of them is seen as the video that was a mistake or any sort mm-hmm. of detour that wasn't planned. You put mm-hmm. both of them in the one embed, and even though it's very, very unorthodox, and this is literally the first time we've ever seen this happen, to just finish a video and then have a little loading graphic say, hey, here's another video for you.
I wonder how many people were just like, all right. Let's watch. Yeah. Let's do it again.
Yeah. Oh, I was.
Well, yeah. Of course, you were. But
well, you know.
But like, what I'm saying is, like,
you can not notice even though I don't even know that I noticed that the song had started over because it's so repetitive. You could actually not notice that.
Yeah. If you're one of those people who listens to, uses YouTube as just your music player, and you know don't really pay attention to the video. Maybe you didn't even know until you're like, wait, Drake again?
I mean, you'd
what's
notice
this guy doing back?
You'd notice the video changes completely, but what you may not notice is that the song is actually starting over.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's my favorite part of the video when she does that. I think that's
you got
super,
it. You know
super
it.
Super cool.
It was just only a matter of time until someone on this podcast was going to repeat something six times, and it was Adam Fairholm, which I think I had as the least likely to be the one to do it.
Man, you just don't know. I'm a repetitive kind of guy.
Yeah.
So yeah, that video is an exciting video. Glad to see Drake getting somebody grinding on him.
He really seems like he needs. He seems like he's been really stressed out lately.
Yeah, he has people after him. I mean, yeah. I keep listening to songs, and he's got people who want to do harm to him.
He talks about it in this embed. He says it twice,
and he has people trying to drain him of his energy, mm-hmm. Which is probably one of the worst things you could do to somebody. So mm-hmm. Drake, if you're listening, we really sympathize with your plight. We hope Rihanna and Nicki Minaj and, I mean, all the famous ladies grind their butts on your deck. You know, whenever
Drake is definitely listening though, because he keeps he keeps tabs on all 60 of the top music podcasts. He's just constantly listening to the top
That's
60.
Right. By the time he gets to ours though, out of 57, he's a little tired. But you know what?
No, he goes bottom up.
Ooh, thanks, Drake. I can't believe it was 57. Thanks for anybody who's listening. That's really neat. If you want,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, we apologize.
That's really neat. What do we want to talk
about
next?
I'll cut that out. Doug, now that you're a big time handsome podcast boy, you are.
Wait a minute.
You're on my case.
I'm not on your case. Am I a big time podcast boy?
I mean, you got two podcasts featured in iTunes. I'd say that's a pretty big time podcast boy.
All in the same way. You should mash them together and release them as one.
Absolutely. So let's move on to a different video. Do you guys want to talk about Sometimes by Oscar?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
This is, I love when these videos come out. This is Oscar. I have to admit, I've never heard of Oscar. I'm sorry, Oscar. But here we go. We're talking about different versions. This is a version 2 of this video. The last version, it says, was made in 2014.
And it's not on the internet anymore.
Yeah, so.
They scrubbed that bad boy on down.
We don't know what the story behind that is, but probably not good. And they have made a new video, and this is directed by our good friend, Mr. Brian Schlom. And Brian he's been on this podcast, right?
He has.
So if you want to go back in the archive, search for Brian with a Y, not the I. And this is, I loved this video. This video features the lead singer and guitarist of Oscar, who perhaps is named Oscar.
I'm not really sure. He is.
And he's playing his guitar, but he's with all these different groups. And these groups are...
Teams and organizations.
Teams, yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Teams and organizations. Like, there's a lawn bowling club that he's with. Some ribbon dancers. Ribbon dancers, very hot in music videos.
Jam skaters, which is something we talk about very frequently on this podcast. There's like four or five, at least three or four music videos that I can think of just off the top of my head that feature jam skaters. So we'll link to the jam skaters tag in the show notes. My favorite is the vapors in this video.
There's a vaping club, and they are amazing.
I laughed so hard when that came on. I had to pause the video that I was laughing so hard at the vapors.
The Cloudy Nights vape team.
Cloudy Nights? Nights with a K.
And they are really good, because the first shot we see of them, I think they blow a smoke ring, like, and the lens of the camera goes through it.
They're like Vine dubstep edit smoke ring good. Like, there's like a Vine sub community of vapors that will just like edit them exhaling smoke to dubstep music, and these guys are on that level.
Wow. And the funny thing is, you know, some of them are performing, some of them, like the lawn bowling club, are just kind of staring and watching. And I thought this was an oddly compelling idea. Just to see all these people that are, and you kind of wonder, like, how did all these, especially like jam skating, and you know, I know vaping is popular, and those people are the best at the smoke rings, which is why they found each other. But for things like jam skating and that thing where the girls are doing handstands on horses, it's just like, how do you get into any of this stuff?
Right, and I think it's like a really great documentary element to this video, because this isn't people that they dressed up as a jam skating club. This is a legit, like, club of jam skaters, or like, this is a legit, like, group of old men who ride around on tiny trains. what were they called? The steamers or something? Something steamers. Rail steamers or something like that, because those are all those little tiny steam run locomotives. They have a place in South Florida of Sample Road in South Florida called Butterfly World.
Ooh, yeah, I'm familiar with Butterfly World.
And across the street is maybe Tradewinds Park or some other park, but they're kind of connected, and they're each on one or the other side of Sample Road and in South Florida. And they have these type of things, these like tiny steam trains that you ride on top of, and, you know, old men with white mustaches ride them around. And like, I saw that and like brought back these memories of me like miserable on class field trips, like riding this train being the most exciting moment of the whole day. These stupid ass little trains you ride in a circle and you get off. But yeah, these are all like legit people, and it's really interesting. They're all kind of, in some scenes they're kind of just like standing there collected while Oscar performs in front of them. All, you know, everyone towards the camera. It's not like Oscar is performing for these folks, but more like they're the backdrop of his performance. And then the other scenes, which I thought were so great, is just like shots of like B-roll of these folks doing what they do. So, you know, lawn bowling and jam skating and Cleveland steamering and all of that stuff. And it's all so great, though. Like, because it's so, if you are 65, 70-year-old man and you wear like a green, like a mint green shirt with a logo to go lawn bowling, like, you love that shit. And it's like a true passion for it. And there's like, that you feel the passion that these people have. And that's like the same across the whole video, is the passion that everyone kind of has for the thing that they do, despite how like separate and different it all is.
I think it's worth mentioning too, that this is a very intentional, yet brilliant and really well executed homage to Wes Anderson's films. The way that the teams are presented is exactly the same way that they do it in Rushmore. And that's not to say that it's a ripoff. This is definitely a tribute to Rushmore.
And it definitely has that Wes Anderson kind of pastel treatment as well in the coloring.
Even the font choices are quite similar to the fonts that Anderson often uses.
So in Rushmore, do they have the shots similar to these, where they visit kind of different clubs?
Exactly. So Jason Schwartzman's character on Rushmore is he's a high school student, but he's kind of like a shitty student, but he's into all these extracurricular activities, and he's actually the founder of a whole bunch of clubs and teams at the school, such as there's a French club and a debate team, and they show these sort of front-on camera shots of all the teams that he's founded in the
archery font comes up or something.
Yeah, and they're playing like
swords. What's the sword thing?
For a fencing team. A fencing team. Yeah. Yeah. It's executed in exactly the same way as this. So
Tenenbaums has those elements too when they're going through the achievements of all of the kids early on.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's got a lot of the same style. So it definitely seems to draw from that for sure.
My favorite moment of this video is sort of toward the end. There's sort of like a, I'm not even sure what the, it's not a biker gang, but there are a certain type of bikes. And they're sort of like tough looking guys. And, you know, the singer is about to kind of lean back on one of the tires. And one of the bike guys goes and kind of shoos him away and tells him, you know, like,
The bike.
And he looks kind of shocked. And it's a funny moment because it's a candid moment that was obviously unplanned, but it also, you know, builds into the theme of the video, which is these people take it very seriously, no matter how ridiculous it may seem to us. And we all kind of have, I mean, hey, we've been doing a podcast for 5 years about music videos. So we definitely know the world.
We're one of these teams, Adam.
Yeah, we're one of these teams. You know, if you want to shoot another video, Brian, with us in there somewhere.
Yeah, right. The podcast, boys.
I'm BDB Podcast.
Brian has got this is not the second video from Brian that I can think of that takes just like these like real people and builds like that like you don't really see a lot in music videos and builds a really great video around them without kind of like making fun of them, but like just kind of presenting them in a pretty natural way. And the other one that I'm thinking of is the Cruel City music video by Augustine's, which is just about a taxi driver. Not just about a taxi driver, but basically follows a taxi driver, I think in London, through just kind of his day. And it just is kind of presented in such a beautiful way and very stylized that it feels like it could be a narrative, but it's actually, you know, just kind of doc style following this cab driver around. And I think the band kind of just shows up in little subtle places, but the video really kind of just follows this cab driver around. And I see some similar, you know, the themes in those two, in these two videos. And that's so that stuff I want to check out.
We have a director's commentary track on that one on the site as well.
Right. Yeah, it's a great video. Brian's a great buddy. He's done a lot of stuff for IMVDB, it looks like.
Thank you, Brian. And if you don't know what our commentary feature is, oh boy.
Oh man, you're, tuck in.
Just get a glass of wine, sit down, and we have tons of music videos that have audio commentaries that we've collected by directors. So
that's right. If you like listening to podcasts, this is kind of like that, but you get to watch the video also and hear what the director has to say about it, or on the rare occasion, artist.
Sorry, we do have a few musicians. Artists in there.
Yeah, some with directors, some on their ownsies.
Yeah, you know, whatever. We like people who freestyle it. Just as we're freestyling now.
Right.
So, Doug, what would you like to talk about?
Well, I think we should talk about a video from this week, and I think I only put two on our list from this week. Mm-hmm. One I want to bring up, and I want to see if you guys even think it's actually a music video, and that's Marble Machine by Wintergatan.
I want it to be a music video.
I think so it badly. Is. So a few things. This is a real, like, Wintergatan or whatever, however you say it.
Wintergatan
is an actual, like, band or artist, someone who makes music for you to listen to.
From Sweden.
And this will be a song that you can download and listen to on its own. And I'm pretty sure this video is multiple takes.
I think so, yeah, unless there are cameras that we can't see. I believe it should be multiple takes. It's obviously set up to... So the premise of this video is that this is a massive wooden machine. And it's interesting. It has a few interesting features. One of them is that... it makes music, and it makes music by turning a wheel, and that wheel activates certain things in this machine, and a lot of the sound is made by dropping marbles. So there's continuous movement of marbles dropping at different intervals onto different pieces of different instruments. Some of them are analog, like the main melody is played by a little custom xylophone, essentially. But then some of the things are actually electronic instruments, so it will, drop a marble on a pad that registers a snare drum or some sort of, like, bass drum, which is unique because it is a very analog machine in one way, but also is an electronic machine in the other. It's made out of all, basically unpainted, unfinished wood, with even, you can still see the pencil markings on it of different, like, calculations or notes or things like that, which I thought was very interesting. This is an incredible and extremely complex machine, obviously, but the thing that I found most impressive about it was that, like, a lot of the music is made by dropping these balls on analog instruments, which is automatic, but then part of the machine is like a section of a neck of a bass guitar, and some of the marbles are dropping on the strings, actually essentially plucking them, and then the operator of the machine is actually like using his fingers to, make the intonations in the bass guitar neck to play those notes. So, at the same time, it's both an automatic machine that's just hand cranked. And then also, it's also like a real musical instrument that has these very analog elements. There's levers and things like that he can pull to activate different elements. It really is amazing. And according to their tweet, they spent 14 months on this machine.
And another reason, just to back up why I think it's a music video and why I think that it belongs in the database, is that there are other videos of them using this in a less produced way. Other videos on YouTube. This is clearly like a video that was put together for this particular song. And yeah, it's meant to highlight the machine, of course, as well. And that's the appeal. But this was like the specific project and the specific like track name. So, that's it.
And it does have some production value to it. I mean, it's on a white psych. And it has multiple angles and camera movements to it. And they do a good job of making those camera movements, both artistic, but at the same time kind of allowing you to kind of look around at the different parts of the machine. Like I mentioned, like there are pencil markings on it everywhere. It's not like it's a finished, like, you know, machine with some sort of veneer on it. And it's really interesting if you're interested in that sort of thing to look and see what they've written at different places and kind of see the process that they went through to plan all this out. It also looks, it's also pretty large. It looks like if you can imagine like kind of like two arcade games next to each other and a little bit taller. It's quite impressive. But Doug, you put it in the database, and you know I stand by that decision. I support.
Habuki put it in the database.
Oh, thanks, Habuki. we support you, Habuki.
Yeah, we appreciate it, and we agree. And there was other videos by Winter Gitan. So you know that's it.
That's right.
Soman Fraggle.
Adam, did you enjoy this video?
Yeah, I loved it. And for a lot of the same reasons as you, I was just like basically blown away by the engineering that went into this giant music making machine. I feel like I've watched videos with similar kinds of contraptions that make music before, but never quite in the like more of like a music video format like this. And I always really like that type of thing. So using actual physical objects to create a melody or music is a really cool thing.
So let's
ingenuity.
Ingenuity. Like it. Maybe we should make our own machine like that, like an IMVDB, an IMVDB podcast machine. You know, we'll spend a year and 2 months on it and, do a little video.
I think it's worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I should drop all other IMVDB projects and get into that.
Yeah, you're right. All other IMVDB related projects. So sorry, data submitters.
Let's talk about one more video, shall we?
Okay, what video?
I think we should talk about Wolfie's Just Fine. It's a video called It's a Job. Now, you may be familiar with a musician known as Mr. Jean Lajoie. And he is primarily known for some funny music songs and music videos, such as 2008's Who Could Forget Show Me Your Genitals. I think the first Jean Lajoie video I saw was Everyday Normal Guy. But he's also made some kind of more higher budget music videos lately, within the past 5 years or so. Fuck Everything from 2011. And then Please Use a Song from 2014. And pretty much everything I've seen from Jean Lajoie has been of the comedy sort. And he has frequently collaborated with a director, Brandon Dermer, who has done some amazing commentaries for us on the site for his video for Necroglobicon.
And he's also been on this podcast.
Episode 129.
He's also screening a music video in the Vimeo staff big screening at South by Southwest.
Nice. Which one?
That I programmed.
Which one is
it? Not Butter.
Excellent.
Which was in our top 50 music videos of the year.
That's right. By Dylan Francis, an amazing music video from 2015. But I think if you see, and also Brandon has taken over, like manages his page on the site, and his profile picture that he put up is him with the Vine star Dinky. If you're familiar with Dinky, who is a tiny dog that his owners. It's like a very kind of placid dog who will let you kind of do whatever you want to it. So they just like kind of like
put a slice of pizza in his mouth.
No, basically they just like put he can also like kind of like stand up and walk. So a lot of the vines are him like driving in like a tiny mini car with sunglasses on with rap music in the background.
Yeah, sounds great.
Yeah, it's amazing. And so if you see these, so correct me if I'm wrong, you see Jean Lajoie and Brandon Dermer's names connected to a video, you assume it's going to be a comedy music video. And this is a video for Wolfie is Just Fine, directed by Jean Lajoie and Brandon Dermer. The song is called It's a Job, but Wolfie is Just Fine is Jean Lajoie's new music project, which is not comedy. It is like it's a straight music project.
Yeah. And this video is on the Jean Lajoie's YouTube channel, which, like you mentioned, it has been up to this point all all comedy, mm-hmm. and, you know, and not like, you know, pretty, you know, not G-rated comedy or right. anything like that. It's, and certainly not like, this is not just a straight, like, this music's not just kind of straight. It's pretty earnest.
It really is. And this video is also extremely earnest as well. This is like a very, very hard right turn for both Brandon and John Lajoie. Because the video...
And for...
Yeah.
And for... And I don't know if it's necessarily like a abandonment. I mean, I don't know what it is for John Lajoie, but I know that, like, Brandon is still doing plenty of comedy stuff, and he's doing a lot of, you know, directing a lot of comedy stuff for Comedy Central, and, you know, he's you know, getting into, you know, doing a lot of just kind of straight comedy directing outside of even music videos. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think Brandon is taking a turn for, like, doing kind of could do all earnest kind of coming of age stuff.
Mm-hmm. So the plot of the video is the first sort of minute of the video is this kid riding a bike, and he's in this suburban neighborhood. He rides his bike, he gets on it, rides around, and he's got a shovel in his bike, in his, like, backpack, so he's going to dig something up. Goes in the woods, finds this rock with a symbol on it, and his socks and his backpack have the same symbol, so it's, I think we're being led to believe that this is some sort of, like, brand of superhero, kind of, or some sort of entertainment thing that he's into. And then he you know, takes a shovel, digs up, and he finds three grown people sort of dressed as, like, not superheroes, but sort of like action figures.
Vikings?
I guess. Yeah, they're like characters.
Norse heroes of some sort.
Yeah, they're not like, it's not like he digs up like Superman and Wonder Woman or whatever in costumes. They are styled like kind of like medieval, like strongmen with, like, it's, you know, helmets made out of bones and stuff.
And it's surreal. So it's not like it is in reality people dressed as, but, like, right. you know, in the video it is he basically digs up Vikings
right.
or whatever, or, like, you know, some kind of land. I don't know what they are specifically, but Vikings is kind of the blanket phrase.
Right.
I don't know if they're specifically Norwegian or anything.
And he kind of becomes the leader of this group of these, like, tough guys dressed as the Viking killers. And, like, the first thing that, you know, they somehow all get bikes, which is funny. And they're all, like, riding in, like, a V formation with this kid on bikes. And I think the first thing that they do is the kid directs them to rip out the neighborhood watch sign. So then the end of the video is, like, so basically you can see the kids kind of out for destruction. And I guess that's what the neighborhood watch sign ripping out episode is all about. But then he kind of comes up to his house, and he's about to sick them on his house, I guess to murder his parents or burn his house down or something. And then he has a moment of reflection and decides it's not worth it, and then walks in the house and the figures are gone. So I will agree that, like, this had a very earnest video. And I think whenever you go so earnest, it's very vulnerable, especially for someone like John Lajoie. Mm-hmm. But I 100% respect his, because he's a beautiful singing voice. I will admit, like, it's a great song and sounds great. And it's got to be a tough move to go ahead and just, like, do a 180 like this. So much respect for that. I think the video has a solid concept, and Brandon did a great job with it.
And yeah, it's very well produced, and it's you know, the craft is definitely there, and I think they kind of. It looks and feels certainly exactly what they were after. It was a surprise for me too, to see this video. And, you know, that was part of, like, what was so funny about John Lajoie and his music was that he was a great singer, but he was singing about being high as fuck. And, you know, part of the joke is that he's and the songs, you know, are pretty accomplished, you know, for what they are. And it's not, you know, it's not just someone singing funny stuff, but, like, sucks at singing. And so it, you know, the fact that he can put kind of more of a straightforward album or band out there is not a surprise. It's just a surprise that he's doing it. And I'm interested to learn a little bit more about it. And that's why I brought it up. You know, I think the video is good, but I think it's what's interesting is that it exists and that it's happening.
And I think there's still always going to be that comedy element because the album that this song is from, it will be released till early April. But the name of the album is I Remembered, But Then I Forgot. So I think there's always going to, and there are a long list of musicians who have walked that line, between, you know, the comedy and the serious and been able to have both worlds and been very successful at it. One of my favorite bands, Oh All Time, Bare Naked Ladies, were very successful at that and made a career out of that. So I'm really interested to see where this leads. I think this is going to be interesting because John Lajoie has these are not just like underground comedy videos. Doug, you and I went to see him live. How many years ago was that? Three or four years ago? And he was huge even then.
We were definitely both living in South Florida at the time.
So it would have been 2009, 2010.
He's got half a billion or 467 million views total on his YouTube account. So it's crazy. He's definitely, and you know, that's over a couple hundred videos or something like that, but maybe not quite so many, but over several videos. But it is interesting that this is the direction he's going, but it's, you know, he averaged, you know, a million plus views a video, and, you know, he's a YouTube kind of guy. And so it kind of you look in terms of view count, and if you look at his account, everything he's done other than his most recent video with 700,000 views, you know, he's up in the millions. But this one for the first day, you know, first 11 hours at 36,000 views, and you know, more, you know, five significantly more likes than dislikes. It seems like people are kind of, you know, his fan base are kind of into it and down to see this, and B, like, this is solid, you know, 36,000 views in a couple hours. That's solid numbers for this genre of music in a day. So
absolutely, yeah.
He's got a pretty good leg up here, and it's an interesting move, but it's one that I do think that he could have success in.
It's so this reminded me a little bit of a lot of the news that's been happening around YouTube lately. Every once in a while, there seems to be some sort of like YouTube, this happened when they changed the comment system, and you saw a lot of like videos from famous YouTubers, like kind of like calling them out, and talking about the difficulties of running a YouTube channel, a very successful YouTube channel. And, there's been some like kind of interesting instances of YouTube channels that have been known for certain things that have drastically changed course. And the one that comes to mind recently is just like about a month ago. Remember the Dame Drops guy who does like fast food reviews in his car? He was notable for the Five Guys review he did.
Yeah.
That was song.
Yeah, I know the guy.
And now he's like stopped doing fast food reviews and is doing like healthy food reviews. Or like home cooked food reviews and stuff, which is completely admirable and stuff. But everybody is just completely revolted on his channel. So it's like such a honestly, like, that's a great decision on his part. You know, eating so much fast food is obviously not good for you, and he's trying to, you know, promote more healthy eating. But it's interesting how people kind of get needled, especially on YouTube, into these kind of boxes. And especially Jean Lajoie has been especially needled into this very specific comedy box. And now, you know, he's just saying,
He's also a comedy actor. You know, he's on that show, The League, and he played, you know, he's a comedian and a stand-up comedian. You know, when we went and saw him live, he wasn't just doing music. He had a, you know, kind of a straight stand-up element to his performance as well. You know, he's a comedian. And like I said, Brandon is doing comedy stuff still too, but I don't, you know, being a great comedy director translates into being a good director too, and it, you know, being a good singer translates into singing.
Well, I think we might have done it, you guys. I think we might have
lost. It feels like we've done it.
I think we lost all the new listeners that we got from any sort of...
That's this is what this is? Nah, never mind.
This is a bunch of nerds talking, like, trying to describe music videos to people over
Skype. 3 5-minute music videos for 2 hours? Like,
Well, yeah. If you are interested in seeing the music videos, if you have not already, that we're talking about, you can easily find them. I mean, it couldn't be any easier than going to imvdb.com/podcasts. You can follow us at imvdb on Twitter and facebook.com/Twitter.
Nope. It's not Facebook.com/Twitter. We'll bring you to Twitter's Facebook page.
Yeah, which, I think one more shot. Facebook.com/IMVDB. You can also go ahead, if you're listening to this on iTunes, go ahead and like rate and review us. I think over the last 5 years, we've only had like 7 reviews, and 2 of them are from people that have been on this podcast. So I think go ahead.
I just rated you guys yesterday.
Oh, thanks. Nice.
I think they take a while to get through there. Doug, your review is from February 17th, 2012. More than 4 years ago. So we also have some actual genuine reviews. Somebody I think reviewed their title for the review is actually really great. So I don't know if our podcast initially gives off an air of being like,
it's like, well, this actually looks like it might suck.
Yeah.
Actually, surprisingly, this isn't the worst thing ever.
I only gave it 4 stars. I dropped a star because I'm on it.
You gotta give a perception of, you know, that you're impartial.
That's right.
Exactly.
So
not like my review from 9 years ago or whatever. The best.
Absolutely.
That's all it says.
Number one. So we do this every week, and you can find us on iTunes and wherever fine podcasts are sold. And you can also find the Vimeo podcast wherever fine podcasts are sold. And you can also find the Fringe music video. The Fringe music fix. I don't know if you guys are specifically calling it a podcast, but you guys are doing music commentaries on SoundCloud, which has been really fun.
Yeah, we're trying something.
And you can find that at fringemusicfix.com, I believe, correct?
Yeah, or facebook.com/Twitter.